right. I'm going to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come before you this morning and we just want to thank you, God, for your goodness and for your mercy to us. Help us, Lord, I pray, to do your will. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Lord, help us to be faithful to you and bring glory and honor to you, that your kingdom would come upon this earth and thy will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We just thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. I was really blessed with the young people bringing their verses this morning about being thankful. It's just so refreshing that to see someone with a thankful heart, they're a blessing, as opposed to someone who's always worried or complaining or whatever, just having whatever kind of a bad attitude that they have. Whenever there's a thankful heart, that just takes away so many problems that we have. And it's just such a blessing to see how many verses and how many different applications that God uses in His Word to show us about thankfulness and having a thankful heart and how greatly He esteems it and how good it is for us. Whenever we're thankful, we have an appreciation for what God is doing for us. And I just want to kind of start with that, build with that, just that thankful heart. You know, the story was told about the man who had, you know, whenever he was, how hard he had it whenever he was young. His family taken away and then stuck in a hospital, just dropped off in a hospital when he was 6 years old and no one to ever come and see him. You know, we can allow situations like that in our lives, hard things, troubles, trials, to make us bitter. But whenever we see someone that comes to a realization that there's other people that have more problems than I do, and I'm not going to get bitter about this situation. Every time you see someone who has been through some hard things and has allowed that to make them better, it just makes them a better man or a better person. And it's just such a blessing to hear about people who have had hard times in their life. And instead of getting bitter, they get better and allow those things. And that's what this life is all about. God has put us here to see what path we're going to take. Are we going to become bitter or are we going to become better? We have this short time in life to make that choice. I just wasn't planning on going here, but we read this morning just in the Wisdom of Sirach. I want to just read a few verses there. We may stay there. I'm not sure where we're going to go, but we're going to. I'll read it slow. Not everyone has this, but it's just such a blessing. My son, Wisdom of Sirach, chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you draw near to serve the Lord, prepare your soul for temptation. My son, if you will draw near to serve the Lord, prepare your soul for temptation. Just that verse alone is just pure gold to me. If you're going to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for temptation. You know, whenever I read that verse, I've felt that way and I've thought that way all of my Christian life. That walking with God is not some bed of roses, just skipping out through the daisies with your hand held up in the air, all starry-eyed, looking up at God and thinking everything's wonderful now. When I see Jesus in the in his life, He was led out into the wilderness and tempted for 40 days. And Satan brought everything that he had at him. He was tempted and tested and tried. We see the life of Job, how he was tried. The Bible says our faith will be tried like fire. And Jesus says in Revelation that to buy of me gold tried in the fire. You want to be gold? You want to draw near to God? You want to find the wisdom from above instead of what this world offers? Prepare yourself for temptation. Whenever I read that this morning in this book, I just almost wanted to get mad. Somebody, somewhere in history, decided that these books had a bad thing in them for some reason. They kind of let somebody believe there was something, whatever excuse they used, I don't know what their unbelieving heart caused them to do to make a decision like this, to take these books out of the Bible. For the first 1800 years, they were just all considered part of the Bible. For even more than that, I mean all through history. After they were written, they were considered part of the Scriptures. And then a couple hundred years ago, a group of little unbelieving brainiacs decided they weren't good for Protestantism or whatever they decided, and they took them out. That verse right there, I can sort through a whole bunch of stuff that I may not understand for a jewel like that. You know, whenever you go digging for diamonds, you got to go through a lot of dirt to find a diamond. And whenever we're looking for truth, it's not because it's all laid out just so-so. That's not truth. That's doctrine. That's theology. That's what men can wrap their heads around. Whenever you're looking for truth, you've got to dig through some dirt. You've got to get your pick out and dig through some rocks. You've got to take your rock bar and break and shake loose some rocks to get down. You've got to move a lot of dirt and a lot of sand to find the jewel. And if you're going to seek the Lord, you're not going to be able to open this book and say A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and this is how it goes. You're going to seek the Lord with all your heart. Satan has 90% of error going to be thrown at you. And you're going to have to sort through that. Faith is looking for the truth wherever it's found. And whenever you find truth, it's a treasure. It's a precious gem. Everybody in the world's got the Bible. Most places. And they're trying to figure it all out. And they miss the truth. My son, if you draw near to serve the Lord, prepare your soul for temptation. If you're going to follow God, you're going to have to buckle down because you're entering into a war. This is Satan's kingdom. And he does not want to let you go. And he'll throw everything he has at you to keep you tempted, to keep you right where you're at. prepare your soul for temptation. Are you being tried? Are you being tested? Or are you just saved and everything's A-okay? Is your faith laid up in something that's already done for you and you don't have to worry a bit about it? Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. And that's not what truth teaches. Truth is something worth pursuing, seeking after with all your heart. Being tested with the most precious thing that would tempt you. And you having to make a decision what you're going to do with it. And it just keeps coming. And it just keeps coming. You may think you're going along pretty good. But we're still in this life. From what I've found, over and over and over again, there's things that I have to make a choice. Am I going to believe the Lord or not? Temptations are real. One thing I want to bring out, temptations are a part of the Christian life. We're almost led to believe that if we have a thought and we're tempted by something, well, I must not be a Christian. Why would I think something like that? Have you ever had thoughts that you just wondered where in the world they come from or why or how you could think something that bad or that wicked? Have you ever had a thought like that? Did you think, I must not be a very good person to think something like that? You know, that's not what we're going to be tested on because we have those thoughts. We're going to be judged by what we do with those thoughts. Temptation is you having those thoughts. And you just as well prepare yourself for it. Prepare your soul for temptation. Prepare your soul to be tested. And the only way they're going to be tested is if those thoughts enter your mind. It would be easy if we could just say we're just saints and we never have any thoughts that we shouldn't think. I'm just singing a song all the time. I'm just doing pretty well. I don't have those thoughts. But if you're going to follow the Lord, that's where Satan works. He works in your mind. He works in your heart. He works in your thought life. And He makes those things look real attractive to you. He makes those bad things look real nice. And you have to sort through all of that and figure out where the truth is and make a choice as to which way you're going to go. You know, some things come at us and the temptation is so great, we feel so right about a situation. We feel like there is not actually anything wrong with this. We feel like, this is just great. And we can't see. But then we read what the Bible says. And we have to make a choice. Are we going to believe everything around us? Or are we going to believe what Jesus said? Are we going to believe truth? You've got to look for that. And you're going to be tested by that. You're going to be tried like fire. Prepare your soul for temptation. Set your heart right and be steadfast and do not strive anxiously in distress. Cleave to Him and do not fall away, that you may be honored at the end of your life. Our life is but a vapor. It's here for a little while and then it's gone. Cleave to that which is right. Do not strive anxiously in distress. Why do we strive anxiously in distress? Why are we all upset or worried or troubled about so many things around us? One of the reasons is we're not thankful. We're not thankful. Whenever we're not thankful, we get all stressed out. We get all worried about what's going on around us instead of keeping our eyes set on Him and on His truth. Do not strive anxiously in distress. How much time do we spend worrying, troubled? You know, I've said it before, sometimes I get troubled. I get tempted to look at my lot in life and get all discouraged. I want to get upset and want to complain and want to grumble about what's going on. Or why this or why that. And then I remember, I chose this path because I found some truth in it. I chose this path because I saw something that I wanted that was greater than me. I chose this path that I'm walking. And I have to prepare my soul for the temptation that's on that path. There's nothing for me to complain about. I could leave it at any time I want. Sometimes I feel like I'd just like to get in that little red car and just drive away. And I could. This is too hard. This is too difficult. There's too many struggles. There's too many temptations. There's too many things going on. And I could make that choice. But I've chosen to walk this path. No one's making me do it. And no one's making you do it. But if you want it, prepare yourself. Most precious thing in your life may be taken away from you. You may, Paul, one of the verses was, Paul said he counted all things but loss so that he could obtain Christ. The Bible talks about wisdom. Pursue it and seek it with all your heart. Christ is that wisdom. Christ is that life. It's not just a body that He had. It's not just something up there. It's life that He's offering to us right now. And it's so precious and so valuable that it's only going to be given to those who really want it. And do not strive anxiously in distress. Verse 4, accept whatever is brought upon you. Accept whatever is brought upon you. Be content with what you have. Whatsoever Paul said, whatsoever state he found himself, he was content. What state are you in? Be happy about it. Accept whatever is brought upon you. You know, thy will be done. We can say that. We can talk about it. But how often do we really get to the place where we can live it and breathe it and say, whatever happens, thy will be done. And in exchange for your humiliation, be patient. Verse 5, because gold is tested in fire. You think there's going to be a bunch of junk gets in heaven? There ain't nothing going to make it through but gold and silver and those things that'll last and endure the flame. All that other stuff's going to be burned up. I've always been told that verse meant that in Corinthians where it said that the wood, hay, and stubble will be burned, but yet that soul will still be saved. And I've always been told that, well, there it is. That means that you can live however you want and everything will be burned up and you won't get a reward, but you'll still be saved. That's not what it means at all. This is talking about people who are real believers, who are real followers. Who are doing what's right. But some of their motives may not be just right. Maybe some of the things that they're trusting in aren't going to be just right. Maybe they're trying to hold on to a little something that maybe they ought not to. Maybe the appearance of their life, like Jesus talked about, having a better appearance than what we really are. All of those things will just be burned up. And only the gold and the silver and the precious stones will survive. That's why He said, buy of me gold tried in the fire. You may just follow the Lord. You may want to do what's right, but you're not seeking and pursuing with all your heart. You're not offering yourself. You're holding something back. I don't know where it'll all end, but all I know is that gold is what's going to make it through. And the more of yourself that you get rid of now, the more gold will be there. Because because gold is tested in fire, and acceptable men in the furnace of abasement. Believe in Him, and He will help you. Make your way straight, and hope in Him. You who fear the Lord, wait for His mercy, and do not turn aside lest you fall. You who fear the Lord, believe in Him, and your reward will not fail. You who fear the Lord, hope for good things and for everlasting gladness and mercy. Consider the ancient generations and see who believed in the Lord and was put to shame, or who stood fast in His fear and was forsaken, or who called upon Him and was overlooked, because the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He forgives sins and saves in time of affliction. Who believed and was put to shame? Consider the ancient generations and see. Think of Noah, Daniel. That's what it's talking about. Consider those men who really went through a test. Job. Did the Lord fail them? You know, we can look back and read about those stories, and it's just a real blessing. But they went through the same kind of fear and test and struggle and temptation that you do. And they were just as tempted to give up, and they were just as tempted to give in as you are. But they trusted in the Lord. You know, Job, whenever he was sitting in the ash heap full of boils, his friends mocking him, all of his family gone, his wife telling him to commit suicide, and all of the things he was going through, you think he felt like everything's just wonderful? Or do you think he was thinking, where is God in all of this? Where is God? Why is this happening to me? I've done all I could do. I've been faithful. I've tried. I've given it my all. And now this is how I'm repaid? Don't you think that thought went through his mind? I'll guarantee it did. You know, I've heard a lot of messages about how Paul and Silas rejoiced at midnight in the prison after they were being beaten. And they were singing hymns and praises. Well, that's pretty nice the first evening. But I've read about martyrs who've spent 30 years in prison, in a dungeon. Or 10 years in a dungeon. Do you think they sang every night at midnight? Their souls were tested in the fire. There's a lot of nights they laid on their faces and cried and said, where is God? And they were tempted and tested. Finally, they came to the place, some of them. None of my senses say there's a God. None of my feelings say there's a God. Nothing around me shows me anything of a God. But I'm going to believe Him anyway. I'm going to still press on. I'm going to still follow Him. Yeah, there's times when they say, yeah, though He slays me, yet I'll still serve Him. There's times that don't look so heroic to man. But that's where the fire, that's where the gold is made. That's where the gold is made. Woe to cowardly hearts and weakened hands, and to a sinner who walks on two paths. Woe to a fainting heart, because it does not believe. Therefore it will not be sheltered. Woe to you who have lost your patient endurance. What will you do when the Lord visits you? Those who fear the Lord will not disobey His words, and those who love Him will keep His ways. Those who fear the Lord will seek His approval, and those who love Him will be filled with the law. Those who fear the Lord will prepare their hearts and will humble their souls before Him. We will fall into the hands of the Lord and not into the hands of men. For as His majesty is, so is His mercy. The fearful. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Verse 24, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, yet they do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say unto you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This verse back that talked about, do not be in distress. About anxiety. About worried about all kinds of different things. What if? Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Being thankful, right where you're at, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And yet we get so anxious and worried about what if. You know, we use... we often get questioned on the streets whenever we talk about non-resistance. We talk about loving our enemies. And people will, what if someone comes into your house? What are you going to do? That what if is the anxiety that Jesus is telling us not to worry about. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, but I know today I'm going to be thankful in the situation that God has put me in right now. I'm going to trust Him today. He holds tomorrow, and He's the same God that I'm trusting today holds tomorrow and knows what's going to happen tomorrow and knows what He's going to allow to come in my life tomorrow. We hear these people say, whenever we tell that a wife ought to submit to her husband, well, what if he tells her to go do something bad? When we're talking about what if, we're talking about tomorrow. And there's enough evil to worry about right now. Trust and faith is full of rest. It's willing to leave tomorrow in God's hands and just take care of today. There's enough evil with the temptations and the thoughts that we're thinking about today to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Wives, whenever we talk about wives submitting to their husbands, you get all worried. Whenever you're worried about what your husband is going to do, there is not faith and there is not rest in your home. There is not peace. It's just not there. Because you're anxious instead of trusting. There is such a blessing in just, it's just like trusting Jesus. Whenever you let go and you just start trusting the Lord, it's out of your hands. You're not worried about it. You can be thankful that He will take care of it. Whenever a man yields himself to God, that's the most freeing thing there is in the world. When you just, I'm going to trust God no matter what happens. It releases. You know, grace. You know, our wills are no match for Satan. Satan could crush our wills. We can just have our will so determined to do what we want to do and just get crushed. Have you ever done that? Just determined you weren't going to do something and then just wind up doing it. That's our will against Satan. We have no power. But when our will is yielded to Christ's will, that opens the door to God's power. That's how those work together. It's not our will that saves us, but salvation is in our will. It's our choice. But when our will is open to God, then we have His power to overcome. I can determine not to do something all I want. But whenever I yield my will to God and say, God, I'm just going to follow Your way. And I need You. And I need Your grace to overcome. Then there's all the power that I need to do it. And whenever we yield our wills to God, then we can do what God wants us to do. We can live the way God wants us to do, to live. And wives, it's the same way in your home. Give up your will to your husband. You know, we talk about young people getting, whenever they're dating, we want to keep them from getting Twitter-pated. You know what that means? That means where they just don't see nothing but just all the best things, and they wind up making some foolish decision sometimes. And so we warn the young people, don't go on your emotions and your feelings. Get all Twitter-pated before you make a decision for your life. We warn them about that. Do you know what we need to see? We need to see a bunch of wives that get Twitter-pated about their husbands after they've got him. It's all right for you to get Twitter-pated now. That's where you're supposed to be. You get Twitter-pated about your husbands, you won't believe the rest that'll come to your heart and family. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Chapter 7, verse 1. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Wonder why Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or judge not, so that you won't be judged. Whenever we get worried about things that we can't control, we begin to look around. Whenever a wife doesn't yield herself to her husband and trust him, what's the first thing she begins to do about him? Starts picking him apart and telling all the reasons why she shouldn't trust him. Goes right together. Whenever we don't trust the Lord, we start finding reasons why we shouldn't. Start making excuses. Whenever we go through the temptations, instead of coming to a place of rest with those temptations, what do we begin to do? We began to look critical at the Lord. Why'd you let this happen? Why'd you let that happen? We began to judge Him. Where there's no trust, there's judgment. The judgment that's condemned. Don't worry about tomorrow. God's got it in His hands. And when we don't do that, we begin to pick Him apart. I don't know where you'll be tomorrow. I don't know where I'll be tomorrow. But we can be thankful for the day and be faithful today. Tomorrow might bring the greatest temptation you've ever faced in your life. And if you face that with a critical, skeptical eye, like he's talking about, you won't be ready for your own. But if you can be thankful today, and you can leave it with Him, knowing that tomorrow I may face this temptation, but I'm going to trust Him anyway. I'm going to be faithful anyway. Then you can overcome it tomorrow because you overcame it today. There's one verse in here that we talk about. What God has given us is just ours for a little while. It's just ours for a little bit. So that real riches can be entrusted to us. What we have today is just not even ours. It's not even ours. We're just being tested to see if we can be trusted with something that's real, something that's eternal. Help us keep our eyes on things eternal. To be faithful ourselves. To be thankful. If you're going to seek the Lord, prepare your soul for temptation. Prepare yourself by being thankful right now. Being full of faith and trust. No matter what we're going through. The Lord add His blessings. Father, we just thank You for Your goodness again and Your mercy. Bless us, Lord. Help us bless You with our lives. We thank You. Yes. Your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't have anything you want to share? Being thankful.
go into temptation saying, woe is me, you're whooped.
Another way to help prepare for temptation is just simply accepting that it's going to come. Like I said in that verse, like, if you want to be godly, you just best expect temptation to come. So, I want to be godly. That means I'm going to be a target. I just better realize this now and prepare my mind, like, when it comes, I'm not going to yield to it. It sounds pretty archaic and simple, but that just is basic. It seems like to me, if I know this is going to come, I'm just going to prepare myself with, you know, thinking, when this comes, if this comes, oh, today it happened, how am I going to respond to this? Oh, this person yelled at me, what am I going to do about that? There's something tempting. Am I going to yield to that, or am I going to walk away? No, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. You know, and be thankful that the Lord has given me a chance, that He had even called me to let me be a follower of Him. Who are we that the Lord should take notice of us? You know? I remember reading that last year for the first time, and I thought to myself, why have I not read this all my life, thinking, a lot of times, things like you had said, these temptations come to our minds, and we think, I sin. Oh, I sin again. I sin again. I sin again. And that's what the Calvinists and the theologians want us to think, that you can't not walk in righteousness. So I think that's one of the reasons they took these books out, because it's clearly up to you to choose to follow God or not. I mean, that's, I think, it did not fit with what they wanted theology to be. And I just thought, well, this is liberating. I felt my voice. We read that last year over and over and over. If you want to be righteous, you will be tempted. So you just better practice now. It's a real blessing.
Well, Brian left yesterday for Ohio and then into Pennsylvania, and then he's going to fly this weekend into Mexico. So pray for him. Pray for Marcus if they're there.
All right. I guess we'll just be back here at 6 o'clock this evening. All right. Well, God bless you.
Oh.